Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
We all need to put our foot down and vote the right way. And voting the right way means getting these people like AOC and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries and all these people, and getting them out of power.
Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick, along with my partner, Mike Sparazza. And we're going to start with the House of Representatives, Mike. Now led by, in quotes, the GOP under Kevin McCarthy. What a circus. 15 votes to get Kevin McCarthy elected. Do they really lead, Mike, the GOP?
Well, I will say, too, watching that unfold and watching everything happen real time for three straight business days and then a Friday evening, it was laugh out loud funny because I've never really paid attention to that before. And just seeing it's like, I use the example like your fifth grade debate class where all the kids are just yelling and screaming and standing up and clapping. And it was a circus. And it's really a Hollywood show. But, you know, I was glad to see it took 15 rounds only because I do really feel like the Republicans, conservatives, they battled and they made concessions. They got certain things done. And it wasn't just a let's all agree with Nancy Pelosi, right? It was let's debate this stuff. Now, the next test will be in 2 years. Are we going to be sitting here saying, wow, those concessions were worth it or not? I don't know.
I was pleased as well. Finally, some resistance. And I mean, he gets in, but he had to concede all sorts of different rules. And I don't know. He actually, this is great. Matt Gaetz says, oh, Kevin McCarthy, you're just a vessel for lobbyists and special interests. And I'm thinking, which of these folks in Washington are not vessels for lobbyists and special interests, Matt?
Yeah, you know, that is one thing I'd like to see fixed a little bit in politics, I think, is the lobbyist part of it, because it's not for the betterment of people like us, right? Mm-mm. It's for the lobbyists. It's for their whatever their cause is. And that, to me, we got to go back to doing what's right for the people, not what's right for necessarily a corporation or whatever it may be. What's best for the people is what we need to go back to.
Yeah, and we in the past have had opportunities to talk to Republican Florida Rep Byron Donalds, and he really became a prominent name during these sessions. He actually became who maybe was an alternative to a Kevin McCarthy. He's a little bit more of a right, you know, further right type guy. And I was really pleased to see that. It sounds like now after all the dust has settled, Donalds will be serving in the House Steering Committee, which is responsible for how the caucus operates, establishing a legislative agenda, and directing which members serve on committees. I mean, honestly, just the little bit of time we were able to spend with him, can you think of anyone better than Byron Donalds for that?
No. And I think he's a rising star. I really do. I think he is. I shouldn't say rising anymore because he's kind of been a star for a year or so now. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely somebody I could see doing very well over time, not just in the House or Senate, but maybe, I don't know, a presidential candidate one day. I don't know. But he's got all the tools and all the I guess we'll call it the likability to go places on the Republican side. You know, even with the speaker, too. I mean, I wouldn't have hated to see a guy like Lee Zeldin potentially be the Speaker of the House. Right. Because I think he did a lot of great things in New York. I wouldn't have hated to see a guy like Jim Jordan, you know, a guy like Byron Donalds. Right. Those types of people are the people you want. And that's what I get the people's point of view where everybody's like, well, what are we doing here? Just let McCarthy do the thing. Why do we got to look like morons out here? But, you know, I have my doubts that Kevin McCarthy is not going to be Mitch McConnell 2.0, and he's going to have to prove that to a lot of people because he's got that swampiness to him, and I want to get rid of as much swamp as I can.
Right. And we've often talked about it, though. The Democrats are like the UFC fighter, you know, fighters, and they don't stop. I mean, it's like that type of fight without officials.
Yep.
And then the GOP come in with their pillows and they come, oh, come on, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. Okay, 12 people are going to cross the aisle and, you know, we're going to make friends and all that. Well, I was happy to see the Freedom Caucus members say, enough. Like, we do this all the time. In fact, they just did with the $1.7 trillion of additional spending before they're actually in charge, which is infuriating. So to your point, I'm actually satisfied with how it went. I don't think it made them look bad. The Dems want to make you think that, but I think it made them look like, oh, maybe some of you have a set of balls, even Lauren Boebert.
Yep. No, and I agree with that. And I think the left is always going to try and make the right look bad. We know that. And the right will always try and make the left look bad. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. But I think you know, that's another reason why I wanted to go away from a Kevin McCarthy, the $1.7 trillion that was just passed a month ago. Mm-hmm. You know, not that that's necessarily like that's Kevin McCarthy's bill, but the fact that the House and Senate, you know, make these decisions and pass these types of ridiculous bills that are just not good for Americans. No matter how you paint the picture, oh, it's going money for this charity or this organization or this.
Right.
It's $1.7 trillion and we have inflation going through the roof right now. Explain to me how that doesn't impact inflation. I'll never understand it. So, you know, I want some people to really make people accountable and make people responsible for these ridiculous decisions. And hopefully some of these concessions that we saw from Boebert and Gates and others will do that.
Agreed. Let's turn our attention to the southern border. Our president, he's making his second trip down there in a couple of years, Mike. I wondered, wait, is Kamala replaced? Joe stealing away that responsibility from Kamala?
I don't even know what to say about those two down there. Everybody, you know, Joe's going to the border. Why is Joe going to the border, one may ask? He hasn't cared before, and apparently he still doesn't care because he spent 3 hours there yesterday and they cleaned up the town so he didn't see shanty towns and whatnot. So I don't know. Sometimes this is something we can break out into besides the border, Mike. I don't know what Joe Biden's, I'll call them handlers or PR people or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're thinking anymore. Every decision they make between what Karine Jean-Pierre says all the time to his advisors, to the decision-making, you know, Twitter tweets that he has, and everything they do is an absolute dumpster fire. And this is just another example of that. Instead of actually giving a crap about the border, he goes down there, spends 3 hours, and then acts like he's a hero. Like, Joe, go talk to Sheriff Daniels. Mm-hmm. Go do a 24-hour meeting over 2 days with these people. Actually act like you give a crap. I don't know what this is. I really don't.
It's just optics, right, is what they like to say. And, you know, this is great. So he was going to be there Sunday, and the Post, let's see here. Yeah, the New York Post reports 6 buses loaded with mostly Venezuelan migrants left El Paso en route to Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, Saturday. So they basically said, clean up. Hey, come back tomorrow. Yeah. Joe, President Biden, Joe, he'll be here tomorrow. You can come back Monday. Okay? Yeah. Just go hide for just overnight. We'll put you up in a hotel. Just cross the border. Come on right back. They probably didn't even send the bus away. They probably kept the bus right on the border so they could go, okay, bring him on back.
Clean up on aisle 5, please. We have a quick cleanup. A little
honest
spillage here.
Yeah. Honest to God. This is just classic. So then just turning our attention to a day later. So he goes to the border Sunday. Monday, he refused to answer questions, Mike, about classified documents while he was vice president found at his think tank in Washington, D.C. we were prepping a little and you said, wait, they had to be, 40 years ago? Joe hasn't had a real thought.
Joe Biden hasn't had a coherent thought since at least the Obama presidency. That's at a minimum. It could be longer than that. This is another one, too. So not only is the border, obviously, like I said, a crap show because we saw that. this week already. And then the classified documents thing happens. And then you wouldn't believe the tweets, Mike. People on Twitter are like, well, this is much different than Trump because he self-reported this incident. And like, wait a minute. Like
no,
you didn't kill the five people like that serial killer did. You only killed one person, so it's okay. I mean, like, what are we doing here, right? Like, you didn't sell fentanyl pills, but you just sold heroin, right? I mean, like, we're just making excuses for crimes. If it was a crime for Donald Trump, it's a crime for Joe Biden. So you right. can't pick and choose who you want to, you know, prosecute and raid their home. You gotta do it the same way. And again, I'm sure, Mike, this will go nowhere. I'm sure.
Nowhere. Oh, my God.
We'll see if that's the case in a couple weeks. But I'm sure his house won't get raided. I'm sure he won't have his sons be, prosecuted or right. Interrogated or whatever it may be, or indicted. So we'll see what happens. But
clearly their New Year's resolution list doesn't include ending hypocrisy, right, on their
right.
side.
Right.
Clearly. Well, to your point, though, about investigations and so forth, now that the GOP is in charge, do you want them to investigate things like the Hunter laptop? Do you want them to investigate election nonsense?
Well, I think it's you gotta pick and choose. You either gotta say yes, we're gonna do all that, or no, we're not. I what I don't want them to do is, like, 12 months from now, I'd be like, oh, maybe now is a good time to make a decision. Are you going to do it or are you not? That's my number one thing with this. Now, do I think that people should be, to the Donald Trump thing of the raid of his house for documents while he was president? No, I don't think we should go on witch hunts for those types of things, because I think it's a waste of taxpayer money. And as we saw with Trump, there was nothing with it. But again, if you're going to prosecute Trump, you better go after Hillary. You better go after Hunter. You better go after Joe. You better go after whoever, because if you're going to do it to one, you better do it to mm-hmm. all. But I don't want to get in the habit of, we don't like this guy, so let's indict him and arrest him or raid his house or bring him up on January 6th insurrectionist charges. I don't want to get to right. a country where we're doing that to political opposition, because I don't think that's right.
Well, and what it's doing too then is it's detracting from things that really matter, right? Like combating inflation, bringing things back to America, getting American manufacturing humming again, becoming energy independent,
yep.
Getting markets that are so less dependent on government intervention, like the trillions of dollars that get spent, only then to force the Federal Reserve under Jerome Powell to have to do something with interest rates yep. to sort of squelch growth of wages and prices. I yep. mean, I'm just so fed up with that. If we go back to the pandemic couple years, yeah, some of that was warranted, but they just, it's like saying, go ahead, the Sunday bar is open, and the kid cannot stop eating. He'll eat until he pukes, and then he eats more, and then he pukes again and pukes again, because they can't get enough of spending more federal dollars.
Well, and I think you got to look at where it's spent too, right? And I've always said this, like, I'm not one of those people that's like, I don't want to pay taxes because I don't have kids in the school district. No, I want kids to go to school and be smart and to learn and to figure out if they want to go into a trade, they want to go into a sport, or they want to go into schooling, whatever it is.
Right.
At the next level. I'm not one that's like anti-tax, and I think that's what a lot of liberals think, like we're like all anti-taxes. No, we're anti-wasteful spending. That's what we are. And I think you look at the $1.7 trillion, we're fighting Sudan's border, we're spending more money on Ukraine, we're renaming post offices. Let's actually spend, and by the way, how much money was spent on interrogating Trump for the January 6th committee, and then also going after him on the FBI raid? How much money was spent for that? And guess what? Not one freaking thing has come out about that. Not one thing
nope.
has actually been proven or actually been warranting an arrest of Donald Trump or a crime for Donald Trump. How much money have we wasted on that crap? Right?
Yep. Made for TV, right? Made for TV hearings.
Exactly.
And election day is over. So move on.
And to all our friends on the left that may be listening to this, I'm sure some of you may, but if they had something on Donald Trump, folks, they would have already put that out and he would have already been arrested, because they will do anything they can to arrest this man and put him behind bars. So if there was something, if there was a thing with his corporations or his mm-hmm. document retention or whatever it may be, they would have already come out and had that. So stop wasting my money on that crap. Stop wasting my money renaming post offices across the United States. Stop wasting my money giving it to Ukraine and Sudan, whatever. Stop with that crap. Fix my border. That would be a start. Fix my freaking border. Reduce my taxes by not wasteful spending, right? And bring inflation down so people can afford eggs, bread, milk, meals, whatever it may be.
Balance your budget like we have to balance our household, right? Yep. We don't have unlimited credit card limits.
No.
We would be under quickly if we spent the way they do. Just do the things that we have to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Yep. You live according to how we have to live, right? I mean, we want to protect our houses, right? I wonder if any of these liberals are keeping their doors wide open in their neighborhood saying, oh, you know what? Come on in. Just come on in. Help yourself to my fridge. Go camp out in one of my rooms upstairs, my bedroom. Don't worry. I'm a loving left member here, you know, anything at all. That's what they're doing at the border. It's just come right on in. Come on right in and bring your sex trafficking, your child trafficking, criminals, come on in, rape people, bring your fentanyl, bring all your other drugs right on over. And they act like they aren't affected by it. Like, I just don't get it. I don't know at what point are they going to say, well, I mean, in part, Joe went to the border because of people like Mayor Adams in New York City, right?
Yep.
Like Lori Lightweight in Chicago. They're the ones saying, oh, come on. Hey, we can't handle all these immigrants coming in. Stop bussing them to our cities. So Joe, I think, is appeasing more the left than he is doing anything for anyone down on the border like where Mark Daniels is.
And I'll say this too. I think people going forward here into 2023 and 2024 with these types of issues, hopefully the Matt Gaetzes of the world are serious about what they're saying and are true to their word to say, no, this isn't happening anymore. So that's the first side of it. The second side of it is people like Mike Hayflick, Mike Spiraza, Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Stefan Mihailu, you know, financial guys, people, our clients, our radio listeners, we are the ones that have to fight back. And by fight, I don't mean illegally. I don't mean burning things down. I don't mean shooting people in the middle of the street. I mean, we all need to put our foot down and vote the right way. And voting the right way means getting these people like AOC and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries and all these people and getting them out of power, because what they do does not help people like us. You know, people in the city, people in suburbs, black people, white people, Asian people, they don't help people. They help themselves. And until voters actually realize that and give a crap about that, this is never going to change, because people keep voting for these people, Mike. They keep voting for these people that show year in and year out they don't give a rat's ass about the little people like us. They show that every time.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And you mentioned a few of our other our leaders, really, Mike, Glenn, Stefan. If you ever need us, folks, throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS, go to financialguysmedia.com. You can check out all the different coverage of all the podcasts that we run every week. Mike, before we go into some of the nicer things about the Damar Hamlin story and his continued recovery, just some of the nonsense first. article off of Scientific American claiming that the NFL's violence disproportionately affects black men, who, by the way, make up 58% of the NFL. This article, Mike, went to the point of saying that coaches will deliberately put black men into positions that put them at greater amounts of risk of injury. I mean, can you believe that bullshit?
I mean, I am sometimes amazed at the dots that these people try to connect. I mean, I'm using one of my favorites because I can't stop talking about her in my whole life, Joy Reid. I mean, it is amazing the dots they connect sometimes. Like I was unable to get to work today, probably because I'm African American and that white car cut me off and wouldn't let me get. You can't make this stuff up. Like, where do you get this stuff from? And in football, spoiler alert, folks. African-American men are saved by the sport of football sometimes in communities that are horrible communities, that these young men have an outlet to go play and go enjoy a really great life at the collegiate level and at the professional level. I am a big believer in athletics to help people out. And it doesn't even mean poverty. It doesn't mean bad. Anything sports can solve a lot of things for a lot of people. It is a great thing to show how you work as a team, how to become a better leader, become a better man or woman, depending on the sport. Sports are fantastic. And they really, really, and listen, Mike, you know I coach football in the local area. I believe in giving back and helping kids out because you know what? Those are some of the best memories of my life playing football at a high, as a high school student. I was not talented enough to go to the next level, but playing at the high school level with kids that I am still best friends with, one of them works with us, right?
Yep.
This is such a slap at sports and just a slap in the face of sports because this guy thinks that, oh, you know, it's like when Colin Kaepernick said, Mike, well, the NFL draft is like a slave draft. No, it's not, Colin. They're choosing to go play football, and they're making millions of dollars to do so.
Yep.
That's not how slave trade went.
And they're changing their families' lives, too. Not only their existing extended families in many cases, but their future families, right? If they're getting married, having children, their communities' lives are changing. Their schools they came from are changing because of what these men have done, how they've earned the right to play in the NFL. And, I, you know, as a kid, I mean, I was 9, 10 years old, you know, part of a divorced family, right? Mom, dad get divorced. I could have gone one way or the other. I'll tell you what saved me. And I mean this. Basketball. Going to the Boys and Girls Club right in the village of Lancaster. Going and playing basketball probably from 3:30 in the afternoon till sometime 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. Guy named Ken Carlson. If you look up Ken Carlson, I think he ended up playing pro ball in the Italian league or something. This guy was like 6'6", 6'7", a great, great dude. I'd go there thinking, oh, I hope Kenny's there tonight. I hope Ken's there. Some other guys that just were directors of that Boys and Girls Club. I mean, I was saved by a sport that I would be, you know, in a really positive way distracted by while all the other chaos was sort of happening in my life. That's what a lot of people use sports for, to go the good way, not the bad way, not to be influenced by the other crap that you can get into as a kid, especially when you're very impressionable. So thank God that we have sports to bring us together. Tony Dungy, a great advocate for athletes, sports, and for black men, black women, white men, white women. He's just a great advocate for things like this. He just basically said, listen, I mean, he says, Dungy shot down the main points. As a black man and former NFL player, I can say this article is absolutely ridiculous. So thank you, Tony Dungy, for coming out and calling out the crap that these people will spew out. It's like automatic, Mike. It's like they just cannot help themselves. To your point, they could say that the freaking blender that I make my smoothie with has some kind of racial overtone, you know? I mean, honest to God, they can't help themselves.
And I think what's terrible about it, and maybe the most terrible part about it, about the whole thing, is you're honestly reducing the seriousness of racism when you do that, because you're making everything racist when it's not. And yes, are there racists in our country? Of course there are. Of course there's terrible people, just like there's murderers in our country and there's rapists in our country, right? Of course there's terrible racists. By the way, both black and white, terrible racists. There's both on both sides.
Right.
You know, to me, it's just you're just reducing the severity and the real look at racism in this country when you just say everything's racist. Because to be honest with you, at this point, if I was somebody that really thought that racism was just running rampant in every state and every city and, you know, every part of the country, like, I wouldn't know any better. Because all this stuff, when you hear it in the news, it's like, oh, man, how could this be? The sport I love so much is racist. Or, oh, my gosh, how could somebody... But it's not true. It's blatantly untrue.
Yep. Yeah, it dilutes it all, right? It just dilutes it. And when someone hears racism, they just figure, nah, like, come on. If everything's racism, nothing's racism, right?
Right.
Like, that's truly the way it goes.
Right.
So at the end of this podcast, folks, you know, just in case you want to part with us, I'm going to do something highly controversial and literally read a prayer, okay? I kind of paraphrased a prayer and changed it a little. So if you're going to be super offended by that, you can log out now, right?
You better not say God, Hayflick. We'll get canceled.
No. It's, well, I'm going to use use the J word. So, yeah, be careful. But no, now to something I think really that we've all been touched by, clearly the country, not just the sports world, literally the entire world has been touched by DeMar Hamlin and his recovery. And, you know, it's interesting to me. You know, I listened to some of the doctors, the ones in Cincinnati, as they kind of said, all right, DeMar has now moved on to Buffalo, into a hospital in Buffalo. It was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, I don't know how you don't get chills. You don't get some tears when you hear all of the story of his you know, the crisis on the field all the way to now him coming back to a Buffalo hotel. But, you know, the whole idea of prayer to me, Mike, prayer for recovery. Right. How often do people, they run into difficulties and then they turn to prayer because they think, oh, come on, God, please fix this, you know, fix this mess that I got myself into, instead of the prevention, right? Go and regularly pray, pray with your family, pray at your church, wherever that is, whatever religion you are, pray for prevention of injury. Simply praise God for the ability to play games for a living, right? And remember, the Bremerton Knights football coach, Joe Kennedy, was back 2015. I can't believe it's that long ago. Remember, he was basically put on a paid leave for praying with his athletes on the field. Remember how excoriated he was? How everyone who prays, you know, don't do that. You're offending people who maybe don't believe the same way. I mean, isn't it amazing how prayer, literally every tweet you could find in support of DeMar, had something about thoughts, prayers, thinking of you, right? Praying for your recovery.
It's something that's amazing that we went from prayer as the enemy to, oh my God, we have to pray for somebody. Mm-hmm. And again, I've always said this about religion, and I honestly, honest to God, I don't care whether you believe in God or you don't. You are Muslim or you're Christian or you're, it doesn't matter. Whatever's, but some people, maybe you don't believe in God, but you have faith. You believe in just praying to yourself or whatever. That's okay. And do what you got to do. For a coach to say, I'm going to pray with my students or my players, if the one kid or five kids don't want to pray, then get out of the line and go do your own thing. Right. Prayer is a lot different to me too, because I've gotten the argument of, well, then why aren't you okay with, you know, transgenders going to the same bathroom as a, I'm like, well, because you're forcing yourself on somebody that you know, maybe is completely different than you, and you're not the same sex as them, right? Like, that's totally different than praying with somebody and then using the same bathroom as somebody else. But that, I'm on a tangent there because I've heard that. But prayer to me and faith to me is what we've lost in America. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm Mr. 52 week a year, 365 day churchgoer guy. Cause I haven't been, but I have faith. I pray once in a while, and that's okay. I have that right. Just like somebody would have the right to go to church every day or every week if they want to. We should not get rid of faith and get rid of, and to me, faith is partly family. And I think that's what people forget too. Faith and prayer is partly family. When you go to church, you're not praying by yourself. Maybe you're actually in your own little area praying, but you're there with hundreds of people praying. You have faith. And that whole getting rid of the family dynamic in our country, the nuclear family, and getting rid of this faith thing to me is just unbelievable, because it's the problem with America right now.
Faith is a journey too, and the way I would describe it is this. I remember back when I was, geez, got to be about 20 years ago, 33, 34 years old, and I was on a phone call with my dad, very devout Christian man, grew up Roman Catholic, right? Yep. And he was talking about things and preaching and getting upset, saying, oh, I hope all you children, I hope you're all going to church. I hope you realize that, you know, everlasting life is with Jesus. And I said, Dad, stop. Because he started distancing himself from all of us, all of myself and my siblings. And I said, Dad, you're 63. I'm 33. Please give me time. I'm not there yet. Yep. And I said, I will get there. And literally, on a little trip here, I'm down in Florida, and Maddie, you know Maddie, Mike, we came down together Saturday. One of the first things she said was, Dad, what time are masses here down at St. Patrick's, right in the Jupiter, Florida area?
Yep.
We ended up going at 9:30 Sunday. And if it wasn't for her, people like her, that want to sort of reinvigorate and understand religion, and I wouldn't be as faithful. And it's just, like I said, it's a journey. It's all of us saying, hey, we can be better people. We can do things. There's a higher power than just you, Mike, or me. There's something bigger, a bigger energy that we all have to tap into to get through life. I mean, to get through days of our lives, not like the crisis, but just every day.
And I will say, that is honestly one of my goals of 2023 is to be back at church more, because I do feel like as you get older, Mike, like you said, you see the importance of certain things, right? And that's great that Maddie, because Maddie's not as old as I am or you are, but mm-hmm. that's great that she says that. And again, I think it's something that I've never been one to push faith or prayer or religion on people, because I don't believe in that.
Right.
Just like I don't push my politics on people. I talk about it on the radio. I talk about it on these podcasts. If you don't want to listen, be my guest. Don't listen to us. That's right. Okay. Right?
Right.
Same thing with religion. If you don't want to go to church and that's not your thing, don't. You don't have to.
But leave us alone if we want to.
Right.
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 Leave us alone
right.
if we want to.
Yep.
It was, things that you experience, and it's not so much what do you get out of it. It's what can you then
yep.
give? And literally giving someone a smile, giving someone just a little gesture of goodwill or love can make
yep.
a difference in someone's life. Made a difference going to church Sunday with Maddie. There were 65, 70 babies brought up to the front of the church because it was like kind of all the babies baptized in the church throughout the year. They were all
yep.
invited with their parents to come back. It was just a great special moment. And again,
yep.
it's about the energy. The higher amount of energy that people can have when you're together believing in something. And I think that's one of the things that the Damar Hamlin story is going to, I think, instill in so many people that, you know what, whatever else is happening in the world, we can help others. We can be there for each other. We can pull for someone, whether you're a Buffalo Bill, a Cincinnati Bengal, Miami Dolphin. I mean, how cool is
yep.
that? You're a big sports guy, Mike. You follow sports
yep.
pretty, actively. How cool was it to see other teams and putting the three outlined on their fields, the 30-yard
yep.
lines, putting the three in different, like a blue? I mean, how special is that to you?
Yeah, I think that's why I love sports so much, because it takes you away from the craziness of the world that we live in, right? It takes you away from, a war in Ukraine. It takes you away from, the shit show at our southern border. It takes you
mm-hmm.
away from the anger that the left and the right feel against each other in New York and the country, whatever it may be.
Yep.
But I think sports brings people together, and there's nothing else in the world like sports, right? That for 3 hours on a Sunday, Bills fans, unless you're fighting an opposing fan or something, but Bills fans come together, any crowd comes together and says, this is what we're talking about and watching for 3 hours on Sunday. And that's what your focus is. And it's great because it's this, like the word fandom, right? You just,
right.
you can't help yourself but root for these guys. And then when you see what happened Monday happen, it's like, okay, that's not as important as I thought it was. Josh Allen not throwing for 400 yards and four touchdowns and the Bills losing is not
mm-hmm.
as important anymore as what I thought it was, right? I was happy to see what the NFL did. I obviously want to see him get healthier and potentially play again. That would be fantastic. But it was good to see a nation rally around a guy, because at the end of the day, and this is what I've always said about professional athletes, and I mean this, a lot of people are hard on these guys, especially in that sport. Everybody, the guy doesn't throw well, he's an idiot. The guy doesn't run the ball well, he's an idiot. The right tackle misses a block, that guy's useless, right? These guys are people. They're like us. We make mistakes. And not to mention, you and I sit at our desk every day, Mike. We write
mm-hmm.
applications and play on our computer. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but that's what we do. We run quotes. And in your
mm-hmm.
case, you're
mm-hmm.
running models on your computer. These guys are running around at 30 miles an hour, putting
right.
their life and their bodies on the line. And it's true. They are,
mm-hmm.
right? Guys can get paralyzed. We saw that years ago with Ryan Shazier.
Mm-hmm.
This what happened to, thank God for the medical team, because this guy may have not made that on the field that day. We need to enjoy sports, but we don't need to become obsessive where we can't understand that these guys are doing a job. And in certain sports like this, and maybe in hockey, they're putting their lives on the line every day.
No doubt. Great. Well said.
Yep.
All right. So to wrap, I'm going to do a prayer. Believe it or not, folks, here we go.
It.
Ready? And this is just to help send some positive energy for the continued recovery for Damar Hamlin and anybody out there, right? Anybody out there that's having health issues. Here we go. Dear Jesus, you walked on the earth, understood the broken world, yet also rose from death into resurrected life. We pray for Damar Hamlin and his family that they would be held at this time in your loving arms. Bless the work of the trainers, doctors, and hospital staff, and bring the power of your resurrection life into their body. Come fill Damar from head to toe with your restorative spirit. May your resurrection life bring healing and wellness into his being. May your grace carry him through this time into a new season filled with hope and joy. Amen. And I don't think, are we going to get kicked off the air for that, Mike? I don't know.
Well, I'll say amen to that. And if we get kicked off, I think the only people that can kick us off are Mike and Glenn. So I think we'll be okay on this one.
I think we will. I think we're safe.
I will say, Mike, to wrap that too, I think there's two things that I take from what you just did there and what we've talked about. Prayer and faith is okay, and more people should probably look at that, and they may be a little bit happier, right, in their life. And also, watching guys like Josh Allen and you know, Stephon Diggs and some of the teammates, all of the teammates, the coaching staff, I think Sean McDermott was fantastic with this. It shows you that having love for one another and being part of a team, and that could be a work team, a family team, whatever, being part of a team and showing love for one another and being able to feel vulnerable and get upset about things is okay. And we should be looking more to do that type of stuff in our world, because guess what? Accomplishing something, not that the players did necessarily, but watching their teammate get healthy again and come out of what was a horrible situation, and watching these guys, even Sunday after the game, crying still about it. It goes to show you that love, teamwork, faith, prayer is all good things. So stop making it seem like love, and I don't mean love like, let's just say love because it's love, right? No. Actually bonding with people, actually agreeing with people and fighting for people and being part of a team is a good thing. So stop listening to people out there that say, that guy's a jerk, don't talk to him. No. Come together and try and make things work, be a team, and have faith. That's what I got to say about that.
Amen, my brother. That'll do it, folks. Thanks for tuning into the Financial Guys Media Network. We will be back next week.